Stay where you are, he said. Just a distant, removed voice now. Take the names of all who had contact with the infected. Restrain those already infected. If any have passed into coma, vacate the room and secure the exit. His voice was flat, robotic, as if he had rehearsed this speech or was reading from something. His voice softened for just a minute, just a second of human concern. He asked me, "Are you armed?" "Why would I be?" I asked. He told me he would get back to me, all business again. He said he had to make a few calls and that I should expect support within several hours. They were there in less than one, 50 men in large Army Z-8A helicopters. All were wearing hazardous material suits. They said they were from the Ministry of Health. I don't know who they thought they were kidding. With their bullying swagger, their intimidating arrogance, even these backwater bumpkins could recognize the Guanbu. Their first priority was the meeting hall. The patients were carried out on stretchers, their limbs shackled, their mouths gagged. Next, they went for the boy. He came out in a body bag. His mother was wailing as she and the rest of the village were rounded up for examinations. Their names were taken, their blood drawn. One by one, they were stripped and photographed. The last one to be exposed was a withered old woman. She had a thin, crooked body, a face with a thousand lines and tiny feet that had to have been bound when she was a girl. She was shaking her bony fist at the doctors. "This is your punishment," she shouted. "This is revenge for Feng Du." She was referring to the city of ghosts, whose temples and shrines were dedicated to the underworld. Like old Dachang, it had been an unlucky obstacle to China's next great leap forward. It had been evacuated, then demolished, then almost entirely drowned. I've never been a superstitious person, and I never allow myself to be hooked on the opia of the people. I'm a doctor, a scientist. I believe only in what I can see and touch. I've never seen Feng Du as anything but a cheap, kitschy tourist trap. Of course, this ancient crone's words had no effect on me, but her tone, her anger. She had witnessed enough calamity in her years upon the earth. The warlords, the Japanese, the insane nightmare of the Cultural Revolution. She knew that another storm was coming, even if she didn't have the education to understand it. My colleague, Dr. Kui, had understood all too well. He'd even risked his neck to warn me, to give me enough time to call and maybe alert a few others before the Ministry of Health arrived. It was something he had said, a phrase he hadn't used in a very long time, not since those minor border clashes with the Soviet Union. That was back in 1969. We had been in an earthen bunker on our side of the Usuri, less than a kilometer downriver from the Chenbao. The Russians were preparing to retake the island, their massive artillery hammering our forces.